Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, do you know what's happening right now?
Create Podcast!
It's my favorite time!
It really is the thing that we love the most to do.
I know. I love what happens when we start to do it.
I know. We just look in each other's eyes deeply, soulfully. I think about how attractive you are and how lucky I am to be in your life. Or how lucky you are that I'm in your life. Uh-huh. Vice versa. And we put a microphone in front of us and magic happens.
Ooh, I'm so excited about the magic that's about to unfurl.
Speaking of magic.
Give it.
So.
I'm going to eat some chocolate while you talk.
Oh, we have chocolate and Pellegrino. We're very happy. So speaking of magic, the topic of this week's podcast is magic and alchemy. And this came to us in a really profound, cool way where I was having an experience where ever since I've been in Paris, anytime I got into a really deep sense of asking questions or a really deep sense of like, what's the next step, or a really deep sense of connecting with myself outside of my life in New York, which has traditionally been not as much space, a lot of work, a lot of joy. I mean, it's so amazing when you love your work, but you can also get kind of caught in that. And now being in Paris, I've had all this space and pleasure and joy. So there's been more time to just kind of sit in different kinds of questions that have been on the back burner in my life. And what was happening is over and over and over, I would like walk past a building and there would be like a painting of a crow. Or I'd be sitting in a park and all of a sudden a giant crow would descend in front of me. And it happened so many times that I was like, there's so many crows showing up. And like, I don't think of Paris and think of crows. I think of Paris and think Ratatouille.
The other day when we were at the Montmartre Museum, all those paintings of crows.
I walked into an exhibit. Kristen walked one direction. I walked into the other direction. And there was a whole exhibit dedicated to painting crows. And I was like, okay, crow is, oh, I just dropped something. Everything's fine. Crows have been showing up so much in my life. I have to look up, what does a crow mean? So I first got to know the idea of spirit animals through Stephen Farmer. He has this amazing book about how animals can be spirit guides. And I've actually had a teacher who I love really deeply, who I really want to feature on our podcast sometime, Dana Chasson. And she led me once upon a time through an animal spirit guide meditation where there's an animal for each chakra and you can learn what this animal has to tell you. And you can also learn as different animals show up in your life, whether it's in your dreams, whether it's in your real life, that they carry sacred messages in the same way all of nature carries a sacred message. Many of us maybe have had the experience of sitting in front of an ocean and feeling deeply connected, that there's almost like the ocean has its own message for us. Nature has its own message, the moon, the sun, the cycle of nature. And in the same way, animals that show up in our life over and over are sometimes pointing to a deeper message. So I looked up the crow as an animal spirit guide, or kind of what the representation of crow is when it shows up in your life. And as I was looking it up, I was like, wow, this is so cool. It says, the crow is associated with life, mysteries, and magic. The power of this bird as a totem and a spirit guide is to provide insight and a means of supporting intentions. It's a sign of luck, and it's associated also with the archetype of the trickster. And so it talks about if this animal is showing up in your life, it can support you in developing the power of sight, transformation, and connection with life's magic. And it says throughout history, the symbolism of crows, it's been associated with life magic, the mystery of creation, destiny, personal transformation, alchemy, intelligence, higher perspective, being fearless and audacious, being flexible and adaptable, and the mischievous trickster. So as I was thinking about this, it just was kind of like, and quietly, I had never spoken to you about this, but I was having this kind of quiet thing of how can I play with the magic of the universe? How can I be like a trickster? How can I say, oh, I see that form over there, but how can I be a magician and transform it, right? And I was just having this conversation with myself. And then cut to, Kristen starts having a conversation with me and saying, I'm having some questions about such and such. And it just seemed to align so perfectly.
Yes, well, I was talking to Natalie, you'll enjoy this, pull up a seat, about dating in Paris. And I have thought of Paris as this, like, artistic retreat, and that I'm really working on some creative babies that have been in my soul. And I didn't want to get distracted by Parisian lovers. But it does seem like when in Paris, and
take a Parisian lover.
So I was telling Natalie, I had this, like, cute date with this gentleman. We're going down by the Seine to have, like, a little wine and cheese. And I was like, I want to hold the intention of enjoying this Parisian experience, but also be mindful of what my intention is while I'm here. So, so wise best friend, spiritual teacher, what do you think? What is the right way to, like, look at this? And she says to me,
and she says, I said, well, what if we separated ourselves from the form, like whether the form is writing my project, whether the form is going on a date, whether the form is doing nothing, whether the form is how I'm parenting my kids. Can we separate ourselves from what it is that we're doing and just think about how we are bringing an energy to the thing that we're doing? And the energy that we bring actually transforms the thing. So if I'm bringing the intentional alchemist energy of, I'm having this experience for joy, for pleasure, for adventure, for my highest good, as we bring that energy to the thing, does the thing transmute, transform, have an alchemical process with the energy that we're bringing to it? In the same way, we can bring the energy of martyrdom, victimhood, difficulty,
struggle,
anything,
yeah,
and even something that could be in its actual form easy or flowy, all of a sudden it becomes tight and difficult because we have brought that energy to it. And if we're that powerful, and we are, then we, as magicians on the planet, get to say what happens to the form that we associate with.
Isn't that so exciting to know that we are the magician, so that the only thing we have to be responsible for is the energy we're bringing and the perception we're bringing to any point of our life? And I was like, oh, yes, of course. Do I draw separation if I start to see one thing is more noble than the other?
Mm.
When all of it is here for joy, all of it is here for our highest good, if my intention is love, is light, then that's all that I can be. And I remember doing mushrooms in Joshua Tree at one point. And as I was taking the mushrooms, I thought, my intention is for love.
Mm.
And because I knew that my intention was for love in that experience, that's all my experience was. And it really opened me up to a deeper love than I had ever known for my own self.
Can I share about the deeper love that you experienced from my side?
Yes.
So I wasn't with Kristen. I was in New York. She was in Joshua Tree. And I started getting, and with the time difference, it was like bizarre timing. I started getting, like, very early in the morning, a series of selfies of Kristen. It was like maybe 20 or 30 in a row, just various selfies of Kristen in the desert. And she was smiling and so happy. But there was no message. There was no, like, hey, Natalie, how are you? It was just like 20 selfies in a row. And they were all different, like all different locations, all with light beaming on you. And I was like, whatever is happening, I feel so much love radiating from these pictures. And it was just making me laugh and giggle and have so much joy. And after the fact, when we were sharing about it, you were like, I just was in such an experience of love, and love with the plants, and love with the flowers, and love with everything, that the second I turned my camera on myself and was taking a selfie, I was so in love with myself. I had to take a million selfies because I couldn't believe how in love with myself I was.
I was so enamored. I kept turning to my friends who I was with and being like, you guys, look what God made. God made me so beautiful. And I think I was actually on my friend John's camera, and I think I took like 300 selfies on his camera. It was so intense.
I actually kind of hope that the image that we associate with this podcast is one of those selfies.
It absolutely can be. And but so isn't that interesting? And I was listening to Paul. I've been on this like Paul Selig kick last couple of days. And he was channeling that the thing that keeps us out of complete love of ourselves is the idea of how we think we should be.
Yeah.
So this perceived idea of how we think we should be, which isn't from us, it's based on history, it's based on those who come from before us, it's based on concepts that are not real, they're fabricated, they're made up, keep us out of fully being in a mad love affair with ourselves.
Yeah.
So again, we are the magician that gets to bring the eyes of love and bring the eyes of wonder and bring the eyes of
delight and surprise and excitement.
So a funny thing, of course, being in Paris, you know, Natalie and I are eating all of the things.
Every single thing that can be eaten.
Never counting a calorie, never thinking, should I put this in my mouth? We're just eating all the things. And so one day Natalie's like talking to me about like, oh, I'm noticing that, you know, my body's just a little bit rounder than I'm used to, but I'm like into it and I'm just noticing. And I pull up this picture of Beyonce.
Yes.
Just being a queen with all her curves and all her delight. And I'm like, Natalie, check this out.
Yeah. And the same day you showed me that picture, something came up on my Instagram feed that was a picture of Sophia Loren.
Yes.
And she was just in like her bra and underwear with all of her curves and her little roll over her underwear and just like in her goddess, like in something in her gaze was gazing at herself in the mirror like, yes, queen.
Mm-hmm.
But a body that we would conventionally say, oh, she just needs to lose like 5 or 10 pounds,
yeah.
Right? And she was looking at herself with awe and delight. And the quote that went with the picture was like, I would just rather eat the bread, right? I would just rather eat the bread than be the size zero.
Mm-hmm.
But it was the owning of it. It was the beauty that she was willing to see. And I often think that we've been handed down a story that we are somehow flawed. And if we just do the right things,
mm-hmm.
we will fix ourselves. We will make ourselves thin enough, good enough, talented enough, better enough, lovable enough. But if we are the magicians, if we are the alchemists, then we get to say, I'm actually divine and perfect and rapturous and in love with myself exactly as I am in this moment. And then we get to watch the perception outside of us alchemize
mm-hmm.
and say, well, if she loves it, maybe I love it, right?
Exactly.
So there's a way that we can change reality as we bring our magic, which is our creative power, that we can see something however we want to see it. We can say how it goes. I've heard your words are your wand.
That's Florence Scovel Shinn.
Ah, it's like you get to say what it is, and then you get to watch reality adjust, that we are not the reactor to an outer cause. We are the cause of a reaction on the planet, and we just haven't fully stepped into the fact that we are that powerful.
So last night, I told Natalie this story. I'm having dinner like you do in Paris, and this girl sits down next to me and starts channeling. Like, I've never met someone that was like this connected. And of course, out of nowhere, out of nothing.
Like sitting at the next table.
Just starts opening up her mouth and starts channeling. And it was so deep and there were so many things she said. I wrote like, this morning in my journal, I wrote like 6 to 7 pages of notes. But one of the things she said to me that was so deep was, you don't have to keep trying to fix yourself or improve yourself. Your only job is to sit back and to bless and receive.
Mm.
Bless all those around you and receive the good that life wants to give you. Mm. And I've just been thinking about that so much. Bless and receive, bless and receive. So bless is a activity of a magician, right? So
it's an incantation.
That's right. So when you look at anything around you, everything around you, and call it good, it becomes good. And then you receive everything that life has to give you as something good that is for your highest and best.
Oh.
So on that same tip, I've been staying at different Airbnbs in Paris, and this very last one, I knew that Natalie and her love were in this one area of Paris. And I was like, I'm just going to try to find a place that is the closest. And I am really excellent at Airbnbs. I have a special talent to find the very best one. And this one, Natalie already told me that this area of Paris, she's like, it's going to be like the hipster area of Paris. It's not like...
It's kind of Brooklyn Paris.
Yeah, it's not our Paris dream, but it's like funky Paris. So when I came to this Airbnb, I was like, oh, I got the Brooklyn Paris apartment. It's super funky. Like, there's a turntable in this Airbnb. Now, because I'm a magician, I can decide that this is the best thing for me. Mm-hmm. That this is cool and funky and an experience I would never have. Mm. And because I say so, I call it good. And I remember Wayne Dyer telling the story of an old woman who had been moved into like a retirement home.
Mm.
And they showed her her room and she said, oh, I love it. It's perfect. I love the drapes. I love the bedspread. I love what's on the walls. I love it. And the like funny thing about it was she had lost her eyesight.
Mm.
And she said, oh, it's not about what I see. It's about how I arrange my mind.
Mm.
That makes me love what I see.
Mm.
Like deciding in advance.
Wow.
Right? That it is good.
Well, this is interesting because I had looked up the word abracadabra, right? Because
mm-hmm.
that's like the magician word.
Right.
Like you hear magicians say abracadabra.
That's right.
And if you look it up in the dictionary, it says a mystical word used in incantations with magical meanings. And then the next definition is meaningless talk, gibberish, nonsense.
Ooh.
And it's like, okay, if it can mean whatever, why not pick the one that creates magic, right? Like, if anything can mean anything.
Yes.
Why not pick the one that serves me?
Mm-hmm.
Why not pick the one that serves my heart, that makes me feel turned on, that makes me feel excited? Why do I have to go with the status quo, the reality check, when I could be saying, oh, according to the dictionary, it means with my words, I can make magic happen.
That's right.
Or with my words, I'm saying nonsense.
Yes.
So why not pick the one that feels powerful for me, put my energy, intention behind that, and then watch the world adjust?
And realizing that as we use that power of intention, that power of word, that power of sight, that then we draw out from the thing that we with which we want to see. So I remember having a producer that I was worried about having a little bit of a contentious relationship with, and I just kept saying, I'm going to see him as a great collaborator.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to see him as for me. I'm going to see him as easy to communicate with, and realized that I could either go into a story of this person is against me, or this person is deeply for me,
mm.
and all of this is working for my highest good. And it was so interesting to watch how just having that that early in the morning before I would go into the situation, decision could totally reshape my day.
Yeah. So in yoga, they talk about a tool called bhavana, which is creating a lovable future.
Mm-hmm.
And so you sit in meditation and you intend the lovable future, or you can even write it down as if it's already happened. And this is a practice that's been like really healing, because most of us, when we go into a conversation that we think is going to be challenging, we go in anticipating the challenge and trying to come up with our defense against the challenge. So one ends up showing up because we're bringing the energy of the anticipation of the challenge. What inevitably ends up showing up is the challenge.
Yes.
And so then we will then have evidence to say, well, thank goodness I spent my mental energy anticipating the potential challenge, because that's what showed up. And because I had anticipated it, I had my answers ready to defend. But what happens if you do the bhavana exactly as you're describing of, I intend that when I walk in and I look in that person's eyes, we just feel community. We feel on the same page. I intend that as they speak, they feel so seen and heard by me that they drop all their defenses. I intend that I'm so excited about resolution and I'm so excited about what's possible that nothing can happen but love in this conversation. And what happens when you set it up in your mind, you go there in your body, you go there in your meditation, you write down the perfect case scenario, how it could go, you walk into that conversation not with your weapons drawn. You walk in with your arms and heart open. Now, what if the conversation still goes in that other way? Well, but at least I showed up with the creation of an energy of something different, and something will have shifted in that, right? And we all know that anytime we've anticipated or planned for disaster, it's never actually helped us.
No.
We know that if it's like you think someone's going to break your heart and you start putting up defense mechanisms like,
yes,
in case they break my heart, I'm going to close myself off. I'm going to not be as intimate. I'm going to not be as available just in case. But you know, when that relationship ends, you feel the same level of grief.
Mm-hmm.
You feel the same level of hurt. None of your defenses actually changed anything. So why not go in with the energy of, I'm going all in. I'm going open-hearted. Because if I get hurt, it's going to hurt anyway.
Yes.
So let me go in with the intention that that's not on the table and see what alchemizes in that process.
You know, Florence Scovel Shen says, we always get the situation for which we prepare for.
Mm.
And then we can pre-pave our way. She was badass. She was like this metaphysician who lived in New York in the 1920s. And because you mentioned her, and no book I think changed my life more than her book. She has a book called The Game of Life and How to Play It. And she, so the one that you were talking about, she says, your word is your wand. The words you speak create your destiny. And if you change your thoughts in the twinkling of an eye, all your conditions change. Your world is a world of crystallized ideas and crystallized words. Sooner or later, you reap the fruits of your words and your thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
So she was really big in like affirmations before there was a thing called affirmations. And she would say, that if you could look with wonder with what is before you, you will then be in awe of the thing that is in front of you.
Of course.
Right? And she was very revolutionary at her time.
Yeah, 1920s.
Can you
imagine?
Conversation. Yes. And it is really interesting, you know, when we take responsibility for being the one who brings magic to a situation, I'm the one who brings the sight of being able to see a solution here. I'm the one who brings the joy into this moment. I am the one who brings the excitement of what we're about to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so often I think we're a little bit in autopilot in our lives. We're just kind of like hanging around, bumping through our day, seeing what happens. If something good happens, we get excited about it. Or if something bad happens, we're ready to complain about it.
Mm-hmm.
But how often do we go through our day being like, I'm the one who's going to bring the energy. I'm going to bring the joy. I'm going to bring the fun. I'm going to bring the magic. I am looking for magic. I know magic's around me. I'm bringing the energy of the unknown. And by being the presence of that, we call it to us. And in doing that, we start to know our own power.
That's right. That's exactly the thing. Like quantum physics talks about when you can hold an energetic intention and an emotional intention for anything outside of current circumstance, then the current circumstance becomes irrelevant, and the energy by which you are bringing creates that new thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that feels really exciting. Like if we, like there's something Dr. Joe Dispenza says that I think is so cool. And it's like the only like quote-unquote problem with us is that we still haven't 100% signed on to the truth, the quantum reality that our thoughts actually create things.
Yes.
Because if we actually 100% signed on to that, if we 100% believed, oh my gosh, my thoughts create my reality, then every time we caught ourselves complaining, being upset by something, there would be an immediate halt of like, whoa, no, I don't want more of that. Oh, switch. But because we're still not totally understanding of how powerful we are, we still think there's something out there that we're adjusting to. We don't get 100% that we're creating the whole thing, that we don't take responsibility for the fact that if I'm not bringing it, it's not available. And the second I bring it, it's the only thing available.
That's exactly right. I had posted something I'd gotten in meditation a few days ago on the Insta, in one of my Insta stories, which is like, as artists, sometimes it's easy to see the obstacles, the roadblocks, the setbacks, but actually being a creator means being the person that is going to see the opportunities, the possibilities, the outcomes that we want. We bring that energy to our career, to our life. We see all the places that life is for us.
Right.
Right? Because it's going to be really, it's easier to see the other things because we've been conditioned to see the other things. But can you imagine if just for one day you play the Joe Dispenza game? Mm. You say, today I'm going to wake up and I'm going to take 100% responsibility for my thoughts. And I'm going to think the thoughts of a magician.
Mm.
I'm going to wake up in the morning thinking, this is going to be the best day of my life. I'm going to wake up in the morning and be like, I'm going to be in awe of what happens. Like, if just for fun, just for a little bit of pixie dust in your pocket, you bring that kind of, I got a secret. And it's that I am thinking thoughts that are going to transform reality.
Oh, I love doing that when someone's like really curmudgeon-y.
Oh, it's the best.
You know, I remember us having this experience on the way to Paris at the airport. And remember, we wanted to go and get bottles of water.
Yes.
And there was like a really long line and the airport was busy and it was super late at night. And the woman that was like, you know, ringing everyone in was kind of at the end of her life. Like,
oh,
it was
yeah.
kind of like, oh my gosh, I'm just doing this job and it's late at night and I'm so tired and all these cranky people trying to get to their flights. And I remember you and I being like, oh, we're just gonna love her.
Get ready.
We were like, hi. And we were like telling her how beautiful she was.
How much we like her hair.
It was like obnoxious. Like, but we were just love bombing on her.
Uh-huh.
We'll cut to, I don't know, it was like 2 hours later where it was like time to get on our flight. And we just wanted to get like a bottle of water for the plane. And there was, like, this super long line. And all of a sudden, she saw Kristen, like, holding her bottles of water, like, about to get in line. And she was like, oh, honey, come here. You know, it was just, like, an immediate, like, cut to the front. I got you. Like, you and I are in this together, you know. But you don't do it to get anything.
No.
You do it because that's the joy of being a magician.
Because it's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, my mom used to play that game with me when we were a little kid. If, like, a waiter came to the table and they were kind of, like, in a bad mood, she'd be like, let's just love them quietly and see what happens. Let's just love them. And all we're going to do is, like, from our hearts, send them love beams.
Yeah.
And watch them change.
And here's what I love about the perspective of it being magic and the perspective of a magician. Everybody knows that what a magician is doing is a trick,
yeah.
right? It's not reality. But the magician is doing something with charisma and finesse and a certain kind of confidence and certainty that make people go, maybe it is real,
uh-huh.
right? So it's like if you're saying, no, the reality of my bank account is there is not enough money in it. We're not saying like, oh, you have to you know, try to like do some sort of spell to like make that money amount grow. But it's like you can know it's outside of reality. It's outside of current circumstance. I'm going to play the game of bringing a magician's energy to this thing and things will change.
Mm-hmm.
Things will change. If the only thing that changes is your perception around your own power, then trust me, knowing your own power is going to make your bank account grow very quickly.
Exactly right. It's like knowing that you have the ability internally to shift.
Yeah.
And that when you internally shift, all of a sudden you watch life shift in a different way. And I know there have been times in my life when I was a struggling artist, when I was learning lessons about prosperity, and I'd be like, I got no money in my bank account.
Uh-huh.
And it was like, well, what would happen if I just let go of fear and lived internally with a feeling of prosperity?
Yeah.
And that's where all of a sudden you walk out, you feel the sun, all of a sudden someone says, oh, I want to buy your lunch. Things start to happen where you feel surrounded by a greater good. And so I do believe the magician's trick is to be able to recognize that they can bring the intention of good into any circumstance.
And this makes me think of Elizabeth Gilbert in Big Magic. She talks about the creative life being the amplified life, the bigger life, the expanded life, the more interesting life. And that's really what it feels like. It really feels like, can I dare to live that big amplified life? Like, one of my favorite quotes of hers is, just be the weirdo who dares to enjoy.
Oh,
right? Like, just be the person who's having the most fun. No one's having more fun at the magic show than the magician. No one's having more fun, and he gets that it's a trick, but he's just so in love with delighting and this trickery, this magic, this alchemy he gets to be part of, that there becomes a transformation that's bigger than the trick.
Oh, so here is to a week of you knowing your own power for alchemy, your ability to bring your fun, weirdo, playful self into every moment and see the good of life meeting you everywhere you go.
And if you decide to take on this game of playing your own magic this week, come over to the Create Community Facebook page, it's the acronym for Create. And come on over and tell us how you're being a magician, because I think it will inspire some bravery and courage and trickery in all of us.
Oh, I love some good mischief. I love a little trickery.
Enjoy being a powerful alchemist, creating the world that you love to live in.
Thank you so much for listening. We love to feel like we have friends all over the world in you who are committed to doing their dream on the planet.
And if you liked this podcast and you want to find out more about what we're doing or who we are, our pop-up classes, our online classes, you can check all of that out at thecreateseries.com.
And if you want to be part of our Facebook community, you can go to the Create Community page. That's C.R.E.A.T. Community.
And if you loved this podcast, why not share it with a friend?